Welcome to Inside Education, a weekly podcast for educators who are interested in teaching, brought to you by me, Sean Delaney. I'm a primary teacher myself, and I currently work as a teacher educator, teaching modules on practices of teaching, and I conduct professional development and research in mathematics education. You can access hundreds of previous Inside Education podcasts by going to seandelaney.com and clicking on the podcasts tab. This week's podcast is a solo episode where I riff on the topic of homework. The podcast does not aim to be comprehensive about homework, but rather aims to contribute to a conversation on the subject, which generates interest and debate in many schools among teachers and parents. I don't take a pro-homework or anti-homework stance in the podcast. Rather, I try to tease out some of the matters that arise in discussions about homework and homework policies in schools. Although the podcast is for teachers, this is an episode that may also interest parents. It discusses the challenges teachers encounter when setting homework for children and offers suggestions for setting homework, for supporting children with homework, and for advising parents about the approach to homework you take as a teacher. It is based on parts of my book about teaching, Become the Primary Teacher Everyone Wants to Have, and some additional reading I've been doing since. I refer to the inconsistent messages about homework that emerge from research on the topic. I suggest ways in which homework can be reconceived and about how children can use homework to develop good habits for working that may be useful in life more generally. So here are my reflections on homework, and I look forward to engaging with you on them. When you think about homework, what are the first thoughts that come into your head? Well, for most parents, the kind of things that they might think about are stress, time, disagreements, tension. Or some others may think about things like, well, at least it's one way that I can keep track of what my child is learning in school. Or at least it gets the children used to doing work outside of school. No matter what your own personal thoughts on homework are, there is no doubt that homework is an emotive topic for parents. And it's also an emotive topic for teachers. Teachers often feel under pressure to give homework to children, and homework takes up a lot of time in school, because it takes time, first of all, to think about what homework is going to be given, and then to get the children to write it down in school, to check the children have written it down accurately. And then checking the homework the next day also takes a lot of time. So there's no doubt that homework requires a huge investment of time by both teachers in school and parents at home, never mind the children and the amount of time it takes them to do their homework. So no matter what, homework really is something that it's important for parents and teachers to talk about, to see what are the benefits of homework and are the benefits of homework worth the amount of effort that it takes from all concerned. If I was to sum up the kind of message that I'm going to give in this podcast about homework, the 5 points that I want to make are really summed up as follows. First of all, there's relatively little research evidence for the benefits of homework at primary school level. That changes at second level, but for primary school level, there's relatively little evidence, or certainly inconsistent research evidence, for the benefits of homework. The second point is that the lack of research evidence for the benefits of homework may be a research problem, or it may be a homework problem. In other words, it may be that the kind of research that's conducted is not identifying the benefits of homework, or it may be that homework just isn't that useful, certainly the way it's done at the moment in schools. The third point that I'm going to raise in the podcast is that homework probably helps children less than you think. The fourth point is to encourage you, as a parent in particular, to talk to your child about their homework. Of course, it's important for teachers to talk to children about their homework as well, but particularly, I would say, for parents, because it's an opportunity for parents to have a one-on-one discussion with their child about how they go about doing their work, in this case, homework. The fifth point I'm going to make is about helping children to develop positive homework habits. And to do this by focusing on how they do their homework rather than specifically on what they do. So, why do teachers give homework? Well, if you ask teachers, you'll probably get answers like to practice skills and content learned in school. So, today, for example, we were working on 3D shapes in mathematics. So, I'm asking the child to go home and to identify 3D shapes around the home. Are there any examples of cones, of cylinders, of spheres, of cubes and of cuboids? Or it may be to prepare for work that's going to be done in school. So maybe in art class, if you're going to be working on construction, you might ask the children to collect materials from home, like empty cardboard boxes, empty toilet rolls and so on. Homework can also be given to extend work that was begun in school. So for example, if you've been working on history and history of life in the children's grandparents' time, you may ask the child to go home and to talk to their grandparents about what life was like when they were young and when they were going to school. Homework is also given as a way for children to manage their own learning. In other words, it gives them a time when they can do some work independently, when there isn't necessarily somebody standing over them, but giving them a chance to work independently. Homework may also be given to promote positive attitudes towards learning. Perhaps it may give the children some satisfaction if they can get some work done on their own. Homework may also promote problem-solving skills. Typically, we associate problem-solving skills with mathematics, but children can be given all kinds of problems in other areas. For example, if they were working on healthy eating, they could be asked to come up with an advertisement to promote healthy eating among their own age group. Homework is also given to encourage children to connect school life with home life. And teachers don't particularly want children just to think about what they're doing in school as being an end in itself. But they like to see connections between what's being done at home and what's being done in school. And the final reason why homework is given is because parents expect it. It's a tradition. And very often, parents will judge a teacher by the amount of homework they give. And teachers find that difficult, but that is a reality simply because parents very often have little insight into what happens in class, but what's given for homework is a lot more visible to parents than what goes on in the classroom. So in order to get an understanding of homework, I want to just explain one principle that teachers use in their work, and that is what can be called the Goldilocks principle. And that is the idea that if work is too easy for children, the students learn nothing. If the work is too hard for children, they will also learn nothing. The challenge of a task needs to be just right. Now, let me give you another example of that. If, for example, you are going to a gym and you want to get stronger, if you lift a weight that is very light, that's not going to help you to get stronger. If you take a weight that's way too heavy, you're not going to be able to lift it, so that's not going to help you get stronger. So, just like Goldilocks, you want a weight that is just the right heaviness for you that will actually help you get stronger when you're lifting a weight. For a teacher, it's exactly the same in class. Vygotsky refers to this as the zone of proximal development. This is the area where you can just move on to the next level if you get the right amount of challenge. Now, that works very well in a class where the teacher can monitor how students are reacting to work that is set. If a teacher sets work that is too difficult, very quickly that will become apparent in the class and the teacher will see that they need to give some extra explanation or they need to adjust the task a little bit in order to make it manageable for more children. Or if the teacher sets work that is too easy, they find that the children get finished too quickly, it's not challenging them, they're not learning, so they need a little bit of extra challenge. And again, that's something that the teacher can deal with when they're looking at the children and responding to what happens in the classroom. But when you're setting homework for children, especially where everyone in the class is given the same homework, it is very difficult to set homework where the challenge is just right for every child. It's almost impossible. And what's going to happen then is some children are going to find the homework too easy. They're going to finish it really quickly and they're going to want to go off and do something else. Some children are really going to struggle with it. And even when they've spent whatever the recommended amount of time on it is, they're still not going to be finished. And it's the parent who is left to make that judgment call. And it's very difficult to make the judgment call when you're just working with one child because you don't know if your child is really finding it challenging or if the homework was too easy in the first place. I already mentioned that the evidence about the benefits of homework for primary school children are relatively inconsistent. And if anything, they would suggest that there is relatively little benefit to giving homework in primary school. However, conducting research on homework is not easy. For example, one thing that has to be taken into account is what would the children do if they weren't spending time on homework? Would they, for example, be spending a lot of time watching television? Or would they be playing computer games? Or would they be aimlessly surfing the internet or interacting with people on social media? On the other hand, if they weren't doing homework, would they be outside playing with friends, interacting with peers and getting lots of rough and tumble physical exercise? Whatever they would be doing, you need to compare that to the time spending homework. So you might conclude that, well, yeah, homework is not as good for them as being outside and getting lots of physical exercise and interacting with their friends. But it possibly is better for them than being slouched on a couch watching television or playing with video games. Another thing that can be problematic with research on homework is that some kinds of homework may be more effective than others. But very often when homework is studied, it's just studied as homework. So it doesn't necessarily distinguish between the different types of homework, and that may affect the research findings. Homework may also be more helpful for some children than others, and that's something that's not necessarily taken into account in research on homework, and I'll say a little bit more about that in just a moment. Another factor to consider is that there is relatively little research done on homework in Ireland or in the United Kingdom. One exception to that is research that was done by some of my own colleagues and former colleagues, Joan Kiley, Leo O'Toole and others, and they have conducted some research on homework, and I will put a link to that research in the show notes. Also, there has been relatively little research on homework done with younger primary school children. And I suppose to sum it up, you can actually find studies to affirm the benefits of homework or to criticise homework. Both studies are available. So there is this inconsistency in homework research. Some lessons, though, that do seem to be clear from research are the following. One is that it is important to have high academic expectations for your children. And that if you have high academic expectations for them, and if they know that you have high expectations for them, that is associated with benefits for the children. It's also good to talk to the children about their school activities and about what they're doing for homework. And it's also good to encourage children to read regularly. One of the things that you'll notice when you see homework policies from different schools is that typically homework policy is described in terms of the amount of time that children should spend on homework in different classes. Now, that's totally understandable because schools want to be consistent. They don't want parents complaining that the fourth class teacher is giving very little homework, whereas the second class teacher is giving homework that takes an hour every night. So schools give guidelines that are based around time. However, what the research shows is that it's not so much the amount of time that's spent on homework or the frequency with which homework is given. That doesn't really seem to have much benefit. But what does have a benefit in homework is the quality of the homework, the amount of effort that the child puts in, and whether or not it is actually completed. So whereas most schools and their policies tend to focus on the quantity of homework, for obvious reasons, because of consistency, that isn't such a good measure of homework and of its benefits as the quality of it, and as I say, the effort and whether or not it's completed. Another factor that comes up in homework research is what's called the Matthew effect. And that is based on the line in the Bible. It's a verse in Matthew 25:29, which says, "For to everyone who has will be given more, and he will have more than enough. But from the man who has not, even what he has will be taken away." And that's one of the problems in some ways with homework, is that homework tends to be of benefit to the children who already have advantages in terms of school. Whereas for children who may come from more disadvantaged backgrounds, homework is of less benefit to them. And that's something that a school may need to think of in terms of promoting equality among students and in terms of trying to help all students to benefit from homework. So one of the things that's important to think about in terms of homework is getting children into the habit of doing homework. And I'm going to take an idea from a book by Chip and Dan Heath called Switch. And they took the idea from a book by Jonathan Haidt called The Happiness Hypothesis. Another book that's good on habit is Atomic Habits by James Clear. That's another one I drew on when preparing this podcast. And what I'd like you to do is to picture an image of a person riding an elephant along a country road. Now, if you think of the person riding the elephant, think of the elephant itself and think of the road. If they want to make progress, first of all, the rider needs to be giving a signal to the elephant that the rider wants to go in a particular direction. But no matter how much of a signal the rider wants to give, and no matter how much intention the rider shows to the elephant, if the elephant doesn't want to move, it won't. And even if both the rider and the elephant are agreed that they're going to move in a particular direction, if there's some big obstacle in their path, or if there's a lion waiting down the road, then the elephant and the rider will not be able to make progress in that particular direction. Now, what has all this got to do with learning homework? Well, if you can imagine that the rider represents your head, your intellect, this is your thinking. The elephant represents your emotion, and the path represents your environment. What you need to do is all three have to be moving in the same direction in order for you to be successful at something you want to do. So, for example, a child might come home from school and say, "Yes, I want to do my homework. I'm going to do my homework. I'm going to get straight down. I'm going to get it done early and be finished with it." And that's the rider on the elephant thinking, "Yes, this is where I'm going to go." But then, when the child comes home, they suddenly realise, "Oh, I'm really hungry. I want to eat." Or, "Oh, do you know what? I see my brother and sister are inside watching television. I'll just watch this program first. Or they sit down and they do their homework and then they realize that there's the television playing in the background and that's distracting them. So they have to get the environment right. You don't want a television distracting you. You don't want other things distracting you. You don't want your friends calling when you're going to be doing homework. You want your emotions right. So you don't want to be taken away from your intention if your intention really is to do your homework as soon as you come in the door. So that can be applied to all kinds of change that you want to introduce in your life. So, for example, think about dieting. Very often when we're dieting, our head is willing. We kind of say, okay, I'm definitely going to avoid eating any chocolate today. But then you go home and you say, oh, do you know what? Today was a really tough day and I deserve a treat. And at the end of the day, what difference is one bar of chocolate going to make? So then that's the emotion taking over. And then if you go to the fridge or you go to the press and there is a chocolate bar there, that's your environment. So if you want to avoid the chocolate, not only do you have to have the right intention, but you need to also battle your emotions and you need to have the environment as smooth as possible for you to be able to go along with what your intention is. Now, it's the same for children and their homework. They need to have the right intention in their heads, but then they also need to be able to manage their emotions that might arise around homework. If they see, oh, well, I'll just go out and I'll play with my friends for a little while, or I'll bring the dog for a walk. They need to say, okay, how am I going to deal with these things when they happen? And then they also need an environment. So in order to develop positive habits about homework, children, first of all, need to have a cue. So they need to make it very obvious when they're going to do homework. It might be they come in from school, they have a glass of milk, they have a snack, and then they sit down and do their homework. Or it may be that they do their homework when they go to their childminder's house and they have it done by the time they're collected by a parent. Or they may wait until their parent comes home and then they may do their homework between that time and the time when their tea is ready or their dinner is ready. But what seems to be important is to have a regular cue that you will always do your homework at this time. The second part of acquiring a habit after the cue is a craving. So you need to make the homework habit attractive. So what is going to make the habit attractive for a child? It may be that they're able to work at a quiet desk where there's no interruptions, or they may want to work at the same desk as a brother or a sister or a friend. It may be they want to sit on a particular chair. But whatever it is, you want to make the setting for the homework as attractive as possible so that the child looks forward to sitting on the favourite chair or to working in this particular space. It might be a warm space. It might be a space with a nice view and so on. But talk to your child about what would make an attractive space for them to do their homework. Then there needs to be a response or a routine. So you have a cue, a craving to make it attractive, but then you want a response or a routine. And that's just to make it automatic so that your child does not even have to think about doing their homework. That they just know, okay, I know I have to do my homework and it always happens when this happens. And the final stage in acquiring a habit is a reward. So the homework must in some way be satisfying for the child. So maybe at the end of the homework, you go straight into dinner. Or maybe you go straight into having 5 or 10 minutes to talk with mom or dad. Or whatever it is for your child, think of what will be a reward that will be an incentive for them to finish their homework. It may be to go out and play with their friends. Whatever it is. So in order to acquire a habit in homework, you need to have a cue. In other words, something that's going to trigger off doing homework. We're going to do homework after this particular moment. What will make it attractive? Has to be somewhere they like doing their homework. There has to be a response or a routine. So it has to be done on a regular basis. And then there has to be a reward for the child at the end of it. And if children can acquire these habits, over time, what they do becomes who they are. And these are the kinds of habits that could actually last them into later life, whether it's further study or ultimately whether it's working and acquiring good working habits. So if I just summarize, acquiring healthy habits for homework might be choosing when to start, doing it at a regular time and place, doing it somewhere that is comfortable and that's a quiet place generally to do homework. Remove any distractions or friction. If your child is going to be distracted by seeing a certain toy or a certain board game or a television or a computer, take those out of the way. Make them invisible while the homework is being done. Give a reward. The reward might be a playtime, might be watching TV, it might be a favourite activity, whatever is a reward for your child, going out to play with friends and so on. Encourage the children to start, even when they don't feel like it. We all have days where we don't feel like doing something that we know we probably want to do or we should do. But even if they get started, usually getting started is enough to gather momentum and to keep going at it. So make sure that they start even when they don't feel like it. If they miss a day, try and encourage them to get back on track the next day. Not to just kind of say, oh, that's it, that's my homework habit gone. Get back on track as soon as possible. And you also want to give your child the identity of someone who is focused on homework. And that's something that can be done by saying things to your child like, well, I know the kind of worker you are. You always just like to get straight down and do your homework and do your best and then move on to something else. But to see themselves as having a particular identity rather than just somebody who is fighting against their identity in order to get their homework done. Question for parents sometimes is, well, how much should I help my child doing their homework? And my advice for the parent and for teachers to give to parents is to encourage parents to check their child's homework rather than to help them. A parent can talk to their child, what did you get to do for homework? How did you find it? How did it go? What did you find difficult? What did you find easy? Rather than just doing it for the child. Because if a parent does it for the child, then the teacher doesn't really know what to make of that the next day. Because they can kind of say, oh, well, I know that this child was struggling with this topic yesterday, but they've come in today and they've been able to do all the maths. So maybe it just clicked with them overnight. So it's not particularly helpful for your child's learning if you do the homework with them. But by checking it, that shows interest and it encourages your child to talk to you about their homework. So when you're talking to your child about homework, there are some questions that you can ask that can be useful. So for example, how did you do your homework? What did you find easy? What did you find difficult? What did you enjoy about the homework? Do you need help with anything? And they're the kind of questions that help your child talk about their homework and help you learn about the kind of homework that your child is doing. And when you talk to your child about homework, that can be a good time to teach them various strategies for learning different kinds of homework. For example, if your child is learning spellings, you may have heard of the approach of look, cover, write, check. And that is where a child starts off by looking carefully at a particular spelling, then covering it, trying to see can they write it, and then checking if they were able to write it correctly. And that is one way of learning spellings. Another strategy that can be useful when learning spellings is to find out something that helps you remember the word. Like, for example, how do you spell desert and how do you spell dessert? Well, dessert has two S's in it, and you know that because SS stands for so sweet. So something like that can help children remember words. It can also be useful to exaggerate the sounds in a word. So for example, if you're thinking of a word like Wednesday, to actually say it out like that, Wednesday, it might be a little bit easier to remember how to spell it. It can also be helpful when learning spellings to connect new words to words that the children already know. So, for example, if the children know secret, it may be easy to just add an A-R-Y for secretary. If you look back at some previous episodes of Inside Education, where I've spoken to Brendan Culligan, he talks about other strategies for learning spellings. And one of the spelling strategies that Brendan talks about is looking for smaller words hidden in bigger words. For example, if you take the word learn, you can also see that the word earn is in there. Or if you take the word become, you can see the word come, me, be. A lot of words have other words hidden in them. The word primary has Mary. The word ma is also hidden in primary. If you take the word teacher, it has T, it has teach, it has her, and it has ache. So it can be good fun helping children to look carefully at the smaller words that are hidden in big words, and that can be valuable for helping them to learn their spellings. If your child has a list of words to remember or a list of ideas, mnemonics can be introduced to your child, and they can be explained as a way of remembering, for example, the colours of the rainbow. If we take mathematics, sometimes children are asked to learn tables. And for some children, they don't have any problems learning 1 plus nothing is 1, 1 and 1 is 2, 1 and 2 is 3, 1 and 3 is 4, and so on. But some children find that very difficult. And the problem with learning tables that way is that it treats every table as if they're equally difficult, which of course they're not. We all know that 6 sevens, 9 sevens are much more difficult than 6 twos or 6 sixes. And we all know, for example, that the 5 times tables and the 10 times tables are particularly easy. So it's of more benefit to children to try and figure out which are the ones that are really difficult and work on those and spend a lot of time working on those and then pointing out to them that a lot of the other ones are relatively easy. So, for example, 7 multiplied by 2 is the same as 2 multiplied by 7. And not only is 7 multiplied by 2 the same as 2 multiplied by 7, but then we also know that 14 divided by 2 is equal to 7, and 14 divided by 7 is equal to 2. And seeing those relationships between tables is very important. And that, again, is not really visible when you look down at a list of tables. So those kinds of number facts, getting children to see those relationships is a very important part of their success at homework. So, how can a teacher go about making homework more exciting or more interesting for the children in their class? Well, there are various ways, and I'm going to give some suggestions, and I'm not saying that these are going to work for everybody, because they're not, but these are the kind of things that I would be encouraging teachers to think about. So one thing would be asking children to teach something that you've learned in school today to somebody at home. So perhaps you've been working on teaching about Easter 1916, or you've been teaching about rivers in geography, or you've been teaching about symmetry in mathematics. For the child to go home and to teach some of what they learned in school to somebody at home can be of great benefit to them. And think of the rich conversations that that can lead to the following day in school. Because when the children start teaching the ideas to someone else, someone is going to ask them questions. And they are questions that can be brought back to class the next day, and they can be discussed in class, and maybe it can lead to research that will help the children to answer those questions for the person who asked them the next time, but it will also enrich the learning of the class as a whole. Another advantage of that kind of homework is that it's more matched to the children's own levels, because some children will be able to teach quite sophisticated lessons to people at home, whereas others will teach more basic lessons. And that's fine, because they're all still doing the same homework, but it's automatically geared towards their own capability, which going back to what I talked about, the Goldilocks principle, that's one of the aims that is difficult to achieve when setting homework. Another suggestion for teachers is to get children to edit work they did in school. That can be something that can be difficult to get children to do, but if it's something they have to do for homework, perhaps it might be a little bit easier, and it's going to be related to what the children need to learn. Because one of the things that children typically don't like doing is going back over their work to check it. And still, as adults, that's something that always pays dividends, because usually when we read over something, we say, oh, how did I make that spelling mistake? Or why did I put it that way? Or that's not as clear as I thought it was. So if children write a story, they can be asked to read over it at home and to check the punctuation, to correct the punctuation or the expression or the grammar or the spellings, or just to improve their work in general. And that might be a little bit easier than having them start with a blank page at home, but it's also promoting the idea of checking their work to improve it. A project can also be given for homework, and this might be something that children do over a number of weeks. And it might involve planning for a school tour, or it might involve investigating their local area or finding out about what life was like in their grandparents' time. But a project that can be done over a period of time, where the children can eventually share their work with their classmates or with other people, can be a worthwhile homework exercise as well. And again, it can be related to the children's own ability rather than being something that's generic and that's given out to every child in the class. And the children can be accountable for it. And also, homework related to their interests. So, for example, if children are interested in horse riding, they may be able to do something related to horse riding. So they may research the different types of ponies, or they may be able to base a project around horse riding, or they may be able to do a little bit about the history of horses and how horses changed people's lives when they were tamed. Other ideas for homework would be to have the children suggest what homework they would like to do. So this is where a teacher might enter into a contract with the children and say, okay, I want you to spend 30 minutes doing homework this evening. And what I want you to do tomorrow is to come into class and tell me how you spent your 30 minutes. So that gives choice to the children. It gives them some discretion in what they do. And it also allows them to choose activities that play to their strengths. And the only thing they have to be accountable for is being able to say how they spent the time. Other homework that could be given includes things like go for a 5 or a 10 minute run, or use a skipping rope and skip 60 times, or do a survey on the number of cars, vans, lorries and bicycles that pass by your home or your childminder's home on a particular day, and show different ways of representing that information. Other ideas that may or may not be practical for teachers is to give a week's homework on a Monday and to kind of say, okay, this is the homework that's going to be done over the week, but it doesn't all have to be done on a Monday night or a Tuesday night or a Wednesday night. It can be done at your convenience. Making homework optional can be more problematic, because that's something where children start to compare with one another what homework they got, and then that starts to put reverse pressure on parents. Oh, well, my friend's mom or dad said that they don't have to do their homework every night, so why do I have to do mine? So that can be a little bit more problematic, but again, it may be something worth considering for some teachers. One of the problems that can sometimes occur in homework is where a teacher is teaching a topic in a way that is different to how the parent learned it. And that can cause problems for a child. So a common example that I come across is teaching division or teaching subtraction, because both of those topics are generally taught differently in schools today than they were taught 20 years ago. And I would suggest in those cases not to give the children homework in subtraction or in division if an approach is being used in school that is likely to be different to the one used by parents, because it can be confusing for children if parents use different language for explaining something to their child than the teacher uses. So it's probably better to avoid giving homework until a new topic has been grasped by the children in those situations. As well as teachers checking children's homework, it's good, I think, to ask the children, how long did it take you to do your homework? What part of it did you enjoy most? Did anyone help you with it? What did you find difficult? And getting that kind of feedback from children provides a way for the teacher to introduce various study strategies to the children. Because if the child can learn study strategies through doing their homework, that is something that's going to be valuable to them for many years, long after they have left that particular teacher's classroom. So, for example, that might be encouraging children to use various diagrams to organise information. So if they're learning about something like, say, something complicated like the First World War, maybe a diagram or a timeline of different activities in the war may help them to get a grasp of what exactly was happening. So learning how to do those diagrams can be a useful skill for children to develop and to see how different things are related to one another. So if children are learning about decimals, it can be good to relate decimals to fractions and to relate fractions to percentages, and for them to see these kinds of connections between different topics. Now, no matter how much we talk about homework, there's always going to be some children who will find homework difficult and will find it to be a chore and something that they're not going to enjoy, no matter how well it's presented. And, you know, that's something really that is going to come down to the child and the parent having to make judgment calls about it. So if a child, for example, wants to go out and play football rather than do their homework, then maybe that's something that needs to be permitted, but it can be discussed as well. So for example, well, okay, what are you doing with football? Are you just playing the same way as you played yesterday? Or are you trying to get better at football? And if you're trying to get better at football, what are you doing to get better? Are you trying some new skills that you haven't tried before? And maybe that's a way to make the children aware of how they're learning and how they're developing in an area outside of homework that they may ultimately be able to apply to what's happening in homework. And I suppose the bottom line for all homework is to encourage communication between teachers and parents and children in order to gain understanding into how homework is beneficial, what are the factors that make it difficult, and how can it be organized in order for everyone, especially the children, to gain the potential benefits that can be gained by giving time outside of school to engage productively and beneficially in schoolwork.
That concludes my riff on homework for this week's Inside Education podcast. Of course, much more can be said and discussed on the topic, and I very much welcome your thoughts and comments on any of the thoughts or ideas mentioned in this week's podcast. To read more about homework, you can read Chapter 5 and Appendix 4 of my book, Become the Primary Teacher Everyone Wants to Have. You can write to me by email to insideeducationpodcast@yahoo.com. You can engage on Twitter using the handle @InsideEd. As always, if you found the podcast helpful, please leave a review of it on iTunes or wherever you listen to podcasts. That helps more people find out about the podcast. If you've already done that, thank you. Please recommend it to another educator who is interested in teaching. You can listen back to this episode and hundreds of previous episodes by going to my website, seandelaney.com, and clicking on the podcasts tab. Until the same time next week, this is Sean Delaney signing off. Thank you for listening.